All right. So we are in Simen Reish Ayin Ches. Last week, Reish Ayin Ches deals with the issue of the sewing, the tefiros of the pieces of parchment one to another. So last week we finished off Reish Ayin Ches Sif Aleph. We discussed the issue of litfor mibachutz, of that the tying takes place on the outside. That's our minhag, although it's a little, the Rush has a discussion about how important that is, or maybe perhaps what exactly that means. But fine. So then we get up to Sif Beis. I think that that's the first page of the source sheet. I'll open it up. Okay, yeah. So on the bottom of the first page, so he quotes from the tour here. He says, "Va'usim l'shnei amudim echad b'rosha v'echad b'sofa," that you make two pillars, I guess you would say, one in the beginning and one at the end. U'mashashayr mimenu b'rosha v'sofa yichrochalav al hamudim v'isparnu begidin al hamudim. So this is talking about the fact that we put on these poles, right? That it's not just enough to have the parchment, but we wrap the ends in poles. Now the Gemara, it's quoted from the Gemara Maseches Bava Basra. You see here in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef quotes it from a Gemara in Bava Basra. And it sounds like it is ma'akiv. It sounds like that is a requirement of the Sefer Torah, that it has these poles at the end. And he says here as well, it's King Katav Aram, Perek Tes, V'chasav Od, V'yarchik Bein Hamudim, V'haksav Shebedaf Ukfar Kasav Rabbeinu B'sim Reishan Gimel, Shetzar Sheyisher Bo Ha'amud, L'daf Shtei Etzbos. That you have to leave over at the end at least two Etzbos to permit room for the poles to be tied on. Now, how do they... right, we begin them. So the tour mentions also not just do you have these poles and they have to be tied on, but that they in fact have to be tied on with Gidin, right? They also have to be tied on with the same sinews that they were tying on in the middle. Now, I don't believe...
Did you say you have to leave two
Etzbos? We leave a lot more. Right, right. Well, we leave a lot more, and we leave like a column or two at the end. Especially just practically, it's not it's hard to roll them out when they're all the way at the end like that. But this is talking about what's ma'akiv. Now the Torah also mentions that you have to tie it on begidim. Now I don't believe the Gemara. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe the Gemara didn't say that. Right? That's just this is being added by the Torah. And the Darkei Moshe here makes the point. Darkei Moshe here is Reish Ayin Ches Sif Aleph. That is some kind of emergency. Okay, no. So Kasav Mari Vile Bipsakov. That the Mari Vile, one of the Rishon, writes in his Psakim. Nishalti Mutter Ledavik Bedevik Hayiriyos Shel Sefer Torah Saviv Hamudim. Is it permitted to use a devek, to use a glue or some type of adhesive to attach the Sefer Torah to the poles? Hamudim via Marti the tzarich litfor begidim, that no, you need to do tfira kamosha pasuk kol aposkin, like everybody says viot svarahi, and it's also logical ki kishayiya yamim rabim, because after a while hadavek misyavish visrape miala hamudim, that the glue will dry up and it will break off from the poles masha enki begidim, as opposed to the gidim, which will last ad kan lishon. Okay, so the Mari Vile says two things. He says, number one, yes, you need to sew it on. And number two, just because we said so. And besides that, even just trying to rely on an adhesive is not going to be successful because these adhesives are not so successful. Now, would that change today? I don't know. There are a lot of adhesives that aren't so successful nowadays either that don't seem to stay connected. What?
It says in parentheses, but in Shabbat Chak, you could use it.
One second, we're not up. Oh, I see. Yeah, right. That was in parentheses. Umi b'shasan chak shari, but others say eno, which is even then not. We'll get to the shasan chak in a second. The Shumas Hadeshin brings up the shasan chak. So v'chasav of Shumas Hadeshin. Shumas Hadeshin writes simin nun aleph the Sefer Torah. So the Shumas Hadeshin has two tshuvos about the halachos of Sefer Torah. Again, the Shumas Hadeshin was known for writing his own shilos, his own questions, and then answering them. Someone told me at some point that the Shumas Hadeshin, every single one, made it into Shulchan Aruch, that it's a book of questions and answers, right? That it's two volumes. I'm just going to the end here. 395. Apparently, all of them made it into the Ramah, not necessarily the Shulchan Aruch, but the Ramah. The Shulchan Hadeshin is one of the main people that the Ramah quotes for what the minhag in Ashkenaz was. So here, the Shulchan Hadeshin says, "She rius tofrim zuba zuba meshi." I'm in the Darkei Moshe still. On the bottom line of that front page. Right, the Sefer Torah Shirios Seha Tefurim Zubazu, that when you have a Sefer Torah, that the Yirios are tied to one, are sewn to one another, Bemeshi, which is translated as silk. I don't know if it's any material or just, or specifically silk, or that's specifically what they had. Right, but I'm just not sure if he specifically means silk, or if it means any, I mean, I assume it would mean any material. But I'm not sure if meshi, the word itself, perhaps really means other materials. I'm not sure. But anyways, pasul. That would be pasul. Why? The tzarech lid for begidim, because you need to use gidim. However, he says, hamihu b'shas adchak she'in kan mishi yitakin begidim. But b'shas adchak, if you don't have anybody to fix the gidim on, uvetchilas tikuno nisparu, kach b'meshi, kai gavna mutter b'shas adchak. And so therefore they started off, they fixed it with this meshi. It would be mutter b'shas adchak. Umiyulim eshel etaken yitaken kodem shiyakrubo. But if you could fix it, so then you should go ahead and fix it. That's a little bit of an odd thing here. I mean, this idea of using giddin seems like it should be, it's ma'akev. I mean, what exactly is the way of saying, oh, b'shas adchak, we're going to permit it. So in the Trumas Hadeshin itself, if you take a look, you go down, I guess, page 4. There's two pages of Trumas Hadeshin, so the second page of Trumas Hadeshin, which is page 4. So this is the question, right? The Sheilish, Sefer Torah, Shiryu, Seta Furu, Zulazu. B'meshi k'sheiro pasul, that if they're sewn to one another with meshi, as opposed to with giddin, is that kasher or is it pasul? So if you look at the bottom right, so first he starts off by saying that no, you need to, that it seems pretty obvious that it should be, you need giddin. The Rambam says that it's pasul without it. And he quotes the Sefer Truma that you need to do that as well. But amnam bottom right amnam ra'iti b'miksas chaburos shahayalam sefer Torah tefura. I saw with a couple of groups that they did have the sefer Torahs that were so. Meaning I've seen it that they've used meshi b'karubahen and read from them. The efshrei they had chak shlo yasham yudei l'takin agidu v'tchilas tikunu nisfardu kach b'meshi. He says, but maybe it's because they didn't have that, or they didn't know how to use the giddin, or they don't know how to make the giddin. Uvrechilas tikuno nisparidu kach b'meshi. So in the beginning of their fixing, they used the meshi. The chay gavna yish lismu chahad the kasav ashir v'sofil chasefer Torah b'shem ha'go'un. Then the sefer Torah she'ein haklafim shalom uvadim lishma shum delo hayesh sham avdan la'avdan lishma. That similar to this hago'us ashiri, who has this idea from the ga'onim, that maybe even if you have a klaf that wasn't mu'ubud lishma, this is already from several simanim ago already, but that they weren't able to do ibud lishma, plus there was no Jews around that knew how to do that. So maybe that would be okay as well. The chas of the afal pi disfirul and the enu mu'ubud lishma pasul, mikol makim yecholim likros ba'osan sefer Torah. And even though you might really assume that such a thing would be pasul, still, maybe you're able to read from that Sefer Torah B'tzibur. Why? Mishum eis lasos Hashem hefiru sarasecha. That there is time to do something for Hashem, which will deny the Torah. What is that talking about? What is that? That's a pasuk in Tehillim, I believe, or Tehillim or Mishlei. I forget. I believe it's in Tehillim. What is that? That this is the pasuk that is invoked sometimes to. Sometimes that the Rabbanim have the right sometimes to be Oker Davim in a Torah, Bekum Vaseh, that to sort of give direction that might be against Keneged Halacha. So, for example, Eliyahu Anavi bringing a Korban on Har HaKarmel, right, which is in theory Kachim B'chutz, right? It's Kachim outside the Beis HaMikdash. So, this is the pasuk that's used, that's invoked there, that sometimes the Rabbanim have the right to what's it called? To be Oker Davar Min HaTorah. But it's a little bit odd. What? Eliyahu was a Navi, that's true. But the Gemara itself has the examples as well. Correct. Writing down Torah Shebaal Peh was considered, that pasuk is invoked for that. It's also invoked for various punishments that Sanhedrin used to do that perhaps are not explicit in the Torah. But here it's a little bit of a strange use. What exactly is the Eis Lassos here? So I'm not sure. I'm not sure what exactly he's referring to as Eis Lassos. Either it means there's no other Sefer Torah around, so therefore we're not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, or there's no other Sefer Torah around, and therefore we're not going to be able to learn Torah ever. And I'm not sure exactly what the Eis Lassos here, I mean, how high on the list it goes. Meaning, would we say, well, there's two Sefer Torahs in the shul, and one of them is being used in one minyan, and we're in the other minyan, so we'll use this other Torah, it was Eis Lassos Lashem. Right? Would we use that as appropriate circumstance to use this, so to speak, with the Eved Sefer Torah? I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure what the gedder is on that use of the Eis Lassos Lashem. Okay. So, anyways, so that is Sif Beis. Let's take. I guess once we're scrolling, we could just like scroll down to see what it says in Shulchan Aruch here. So in Shulchan Aruch Sif Beis, that's the next page. So it says Yasim B'Sefer Torah Shnei Amudim Echa B'Roshu V'Echa B'Sof. You should have two poles, one in the front and one in the back. And with that, what you have left over at the end of the scrolls, you would wrap around those poles. Yeah, you would wrap around those poles. V'perenu begidin v'yishar bina amud l'daf shtei etzbaos. And then you would tie with gidin. V'yishar bina and leave between the poles and the daf at least two etzbaos. So between the daf and the beginning of the writing, you need at least two etzbaos, not just two etzbaos at the end. You need a little bit more because you need to wrap it around the poles. Now the Ramah then comments here though. He says v'shas harchak she'ef shar l'tafren begidin. If it's a shas harchak where it's impossible to sew with gidin, im nispara b'meshi saviv hamudim karenba, then you could read it. Now, the Ramah is only permitting here using this meshi for the poles, not necessarily for the rest of the Torah. Right? Miyuim efshar letakna begidin afal pishe kfar nispara v'meshi ein koren ba'ad sheyiskanena. But if you could fix it, so then you should fix it. You shouldn't just say, oh, well, we sewed it already, so bidyevet, this is an example of different meanings of bidyevet. Right? You could say, well, bidyevet was already sewn with non-gidin, so it's done already. So the Ramah says here, no, this is something you should go back and fix. I mean, if you're able to get a hold of gidin finally, so then you should go and fix, take the meshi out, and put the gidin in order to sew it in place, right? You see the Ramah there. He quotes he's quoting from the Trumas Hadashim. Now the Shach here makes the comment. Shach beis vis perenu begidin aval aser ledavik hayirius bedavek saviv hamudim, but it's prohibited to use glue, right? Ki sheyia hadavek yamim rabim hadvak misyaveh shemisrapa miyal hamudim, because if you leave it there a while, so the glue is going to break off and it's going to fall off. Kinkas Mahariyav, who is the Mahari Vile, right, which was quoted in the beginning of the Darkei Moshe, Bedinim, Behilchos, Uvedarkei Moshe, Messiahimba, Bishmo, Miu Bishasakak Shari, Velo Nimsa, Kane, Bimahari Vile Sham, right? But however, Bishasakak, it should be Mutter, right, which is the end of the parentheses there, right? Miu Bishasakak Shari, but the Shach comments that I didn't see that in the Mahari Vile. Meaning, right, that was the parentheses in the Darkei Moshe. Where he says, but Shasan Chak, you could use the glue. So the Shach comments, he says, okay, that's not in the Mari Vile, though. It's not in that Rishon. Now, Yeah, so I see here in the notes on the bottom of the page here, he points out that many people point out that this word, that the Darkei Moshe seems to have included it. The Marival did not include the B'Shas HaDchak Shari, etc. So it seems like, so if you're going to say that Shas HaDchak, the glue, is no good, so then you actually have to create, according to the Ramah, there ends up being three levels, right? There's using Gidin, which we're going to say is Mutter. There's using the Meshi, which we say B'Dieved B'Shas HaDchak is Mutter. And then we say, and then there is the, what's it called? The glue, which the Shach says is not allowed. So the Shach seems to be disagreeing with the Ramah with regards to the glue. Actually, the Ramah himself here doesn't mention the glue, but he seems to agree with seems to give the Meshi a pass. Seems to be saying that would be okay. So why he would distinguish that, except to say that, well, the Trumas Hadeshin said that Meshi is okay B'Shas HaDchak, and he thinks that we don't have a Rishon that permits the glue B'Shas HaDchak, but still, once you're not using Gidin anymore, why you should make that distinction, I don't have an answer. Okay? So the... Or any threads. I don't know why there would be a difference. Yeah, I raised that issue before, that meshi is meshi just a reference to silk, or is it to any threads? I would assume any threads, because I don't really know why we would distinguish. You want to raise a point that maybe there's a distinction between synthetic versus natural, but I don't know why we would say that. So for me it's on the side of the page. If you're using the newer Shulchan Aruch, so then I think it's on the bottom. So the Dagul Miravava, of course, by the Node Behuda, see, he says, wait a second, Divi Ramat Sarachiyun, ki at Shumas Hadeshen Sham, which if you look at the Shumas Hadeshen, which we did, Linyan Tfiros Hayarios LaDadi Mairi, right? The Shumas Hadeshen wasn't talking about sewing to the what's it called, to the Atzei Chaim. The Trumas Hadeshen is talking about sewing Urios to one to another. LaDadi Mairi. Aval Inyan Hamudim, Nir Lefi Aneis Daisi, Afil Lonis Peru Klal. Bahayuria. The ain shambamelid for, even if it's not, if you don't use a urea at all, and you don't have anything to sew it onto, it's still gonna be kosher. Bahray, and he says, what's his proof? He says, Sefer Ezra, lo hayalo rak amud echad. He says, the book of Ezra only had one amud. I don't know how he knew that. I don't know how Dagomir Vava knows that. But he says the whole pole thing is not ma'akev. So you're going to say sewing it to the poles is ma'akev? He said, no, the Trumas Hadeshen, when he was permitting these things, you don't have any giddin, so then you'll use something else. That's talking about sewing one panel to the next. But he thinks that sewing the amudiman, the Trumas Hadeshen is not concerned about that. I assume so, yes. I assume it's talking about Ezra's Torah. I can't find the Devil of Revelation. Oh, it's on the side in the handout, yes. Right, in the newer Shulchan Aruch, it should be on the bottom. So, the Pischei Tshuva deals with this a little bit in Sif Gimel. He says, Saviv Amudim, he says, Ayin B'dalgum Miravava, Shetema Al Ramah, the B'chumas Adashin Shamayri Linyan Tfirus Hayriyos Ladadival, Linyan Hamudim Afil Lo Nispiru Klal B'yiriya Ve'ein Shamba Melid For Kasher, right? It should be Kasher no matter what. V'chein Hissig Alav V'sefer B'nei Yonah. And the Sefer B'nei Yonah asks the question. So, I don't know if that B'nai Yonah is related to the Dagul Miravava too. But anyways, Va'Allah, and it comes out, the im hotziu sefer Torah she'ein la amudim klal, yotziu acheres, she'esh la amudim, im nimtza sham. That if you take, let's say you don't have pillars on it, so then you would take out another one. V'im lo nimtza sham, Acheres Korin Mizu. You can read from that one. But if you do have one with urios, but it's not sewn properly, and certainly in nisperu b'meshi, afshiyesham acheres shetfurin begidin ein lahotzi acheres. You wouldn't take out another one. Mishum pgam harishim. So Pesach Teshuva says, he says, if you don't have any poles at all, so then you should take one out with poles. But if you take out one with poles, but it's sewn on, not with gidin, says the Pesach Teshuva, he says, that's okay. I would use that one rather than put it back and take out a different one, because we're always nervous about taking out Sifrei Torah and returning and putting them back in the Aron, just because without reading from them first. So there's the idea of motzi laz that people are going to think that Sefer Torah is problematic, right? Which is why, Sheldon always runs up whenever we're taking out multiple Sifrei Torah. Sheldon has to run to the front of the shul to make sure that the psicha man knows what he's doing. Right, Sam? Yes, right.
Just a quick piece of research I did on meshi. It looks like the Alkalis dictionary calls it silk. The Eben Shoshan dictionary says any thin fiber.
Ah, okay. Right, so I think in halacha it's used as a... it's not used specifically to mean silk. Right. Okay. So, now the continue on to Siv Gimel. Let's go back to up to page 2. This is like with these source sheets. It's easier to just go up and down on the thing here. So we go back up to page 2. There is no comment for Sif Gimel, right? There's no comment in the Tur, but there is here in the Beis Yosef. And the Beis Yosef goes back to the previous Siman in the Trumas Hadeshin, where the Trumas... there we go. So the Trumas Hadeshin says in Siman Nun, the Nikra Rov Tefira Shebein Yiriyah L'Yiriyah, that if you tore most of the Tefiras, most of the stitches that are between the Yerios, Elishadayin Muchubaros, but it's still connected Behei Ovav Tefiros, with 5 or 6 Tefiros. Now, the common way of sewing Sifrei Torah today, at least from what I could tell, is to do about 5 or 6 for the whole thing, is usually about 5 or 6 Tefiros. But here the assumption is apparently that it's less than that. It's much more than that, because it's saying that you have 5 or 6 left, but the majority is already torn. Okay? So near the Kevan de Kfar Hayu Mechubarim Kehilchasan, that because they were already, it was already once upon a time tied appropriately, Vadai Mechubarman, and still is tied, Binyan Zeh, Sha'usan Tfirus Chamesh Oshesh Shalkayama, that there's 5 or 6 that are still there. In a way that it would be considered to be stitches for the purpose of Shabbos and Shatnas, meaning how do we make a geder for what is considered sewn, that it's sewn enough that you would be chayev kosher on Shabbos, or it would create a Shatnas mix. So he says that would still be okay. From top to the bottom, except for a little bit. That as long as there's 3 gidin, it would be okay, but by a Sefer Torah, it would not be okay. So too, from the top to the bottom, the rest would need to be done by gidin. So what exactly is the minimal amount? So he seems to say that you need 4 or 5, because the Megillah needs 3, and a Sefer Torah would need more. But again, I don't know how that works with today's Sifrei Torah, where we seem to do longer stitches than what's being described by the Trumas Hadeshin here. Okay. Yes, I think we stopped using it until the rabbi got his act together, and
we did use it.
We used it. Okay, so.
Well,
Okay, so that's what's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. If you take a look at the Mechaber on the bottom, Zif Gimel, he says im nikra rov tfira shebein yiriyah liyiriyah, that if you tear most of the tfiras between yiriyos v'adayin mechubaros b'chamish or sheish, as long as you have five or six tfiras shel kayama, that would be kosher. That would be considered to be sufficient. So the Taz here says, well, wait a second. So if you take a look at the Taz is Betrumas Hadesh and Simon Nun Aleph, this is Taz Sif Beis, right? Zelushono, he quotes the Trumas Hadesh himself. So he says, Midam Rinan Sefer Torah Shechasira Afilu Uriah Achas in Korinba. That even if it's missing one Uriah, even if it's right, a Sefer Torah that's missing a, what's it called, a panel, in Korinba, you shouldn't read it. Peir Sharash, Shechiber Kolay Uriah Shechasira Torah. The tafram yachan, you tie them together. Nishara yuriyah shaluchibra, but you left one out that's not connected. Afal pishimu neches kan aser likros. Even if it's there, you're not allowed to use it, right? Actually, you kula mechubar yachan until they're all sewn together. I mean, what's the issue here? The issue is that you need a full sefer Torah to read from. So if you have a panel that's torn off, so then you don't have a full sefer Torah. That's going to be a problem. Mash maktsas, however, but it sounds like. The Bidyevich Kfar Hayu Mechubarim, that if it once upon a time was sewn together, Kehil Chasan, Vaday Mechubarim, it's still connected, B'inyan Zesh, Osam Tfirus L'inyan Shabbos HaShatas, in a way that you have it sewn like the Shabbos and Shatas, Chashiva Tfira, that's going to be considered sewn and would be permitted, Likrospa, the Lo Aser Elahecha Deme Kara Chaser, but really, we're only going to Aser if it was never sewn. But if it was once sown and then became torn, there's more leeway. So it says the Taz of the Tamuali. He says, I don't quite get this, Harbe. Right? He says, if you're going to deal with the Shatnas thing, so even two Tfiros should be okay. Because that's already going to be Chai when it comes to Shatnas. But so I think the quick answer to that is, I didn't think that the Trumas Hadeshin was saying, two stitches because that's what's required for Shatnas. It was four or five stitches of the status that would be considered a stitch for Shatnas. I thought that's what he meant. So I'm not quite sure what the Taz's question here is. But then he has another question. Kashulimi Talmud Aruch Perka Orvarotev from the Talmud, from the Gemara in Perak Orvarotev, which is in Meseches Chulin. All right, there aren't too many Mesechtas that get up to Daf Kuf Chaf Gimel. So right, that's in Maseches Chulin. So Aliyas, where it says talks about a talis she hitchil ba lekora, that you have a talis that was torn or began to tear, kivin shenikra ruba shuv eina chibur v'tahora. If you tear the majority, it's not considered connected anymore, and it's tahor. What is that talking about? So Pirish Rashi Shenitma. So Rashi adds in what's missing here. It's actually really a quote from a Mishnah Maseches Kelim that you have a kli, you have a garment that became tameh. Uva lekora levatala mitoris talis. So now you want to tear it in order for it not to be considered a talis anymore. Why would you do that? Because then it's not going to be tameh anymore. So it says the Gemara Tahora Hatuma Harishona Dumya de Chavches de Shvirasu mitarasa Dumya de Kli cheres the shvirasu mitaraso, similar to a kli, right, where you break it in order for it to not be tame anymore. So how much of the garment you need to tear in order for it not to be tame anymore? So says the Gemara, you need to tear at least 50%. So says the Taz, v'im kein hachanami. So too here, nema kol shenikru rov hatfiros shuv enam chashuvim mechubarim. He says here it should be if rove of it is not connected, it shouldn't be connected mechumer anymore. Bahavalei chaser yuriyah, and it should already be considered chaser yuriyah. So the Taz is actually offering a chumra here, right? The Shulchan Aruch is quoting from the Trumas Hadesh, and as long as you have a few yuriyos, a few stitches, four or five was the number he used. Maybe it means four or five ins and outs, in which case you probably have 12 over the course of a thing, so something like that. So as long as you have, say, a third of it, that would be okay. The Taz is saying, hey, the Mishnah Maseches Kalim says that once you've torn half of it, it already is no good. It already is considered to be torn. So why a third? Half of it should be no good. So the Taz is being a little more machmer over the Truma Sedeshin. So I think last week while I'm running, I tracked down a shir from Rav Shechter on Hilchos Sefer Torah, and this was in the first 15 minutes or so, which was probably the first 6 minutes of me listening to it, he mentioned this halacha, that he was in a yeshiva for Simchas Torah, and everybody was getting an aliyah, and he called it up to get an aliyah, and he looked at it and he saw that more than half of the urea was torn. So he said, I'm sorry, I don't want an aliyah. He said, well, why don't you want an aliyah? He says, well, it's torn, I don't want to make a bracha on that on that Sefer Torah. He says, why? It's a third of it is there. He says, yeah, but the Taz says it's no good, like on the spot. So now you'll also all be able to say, yeah, but the Taz says it's no good, so we shouldn't be. Anyway, so that is the, so they said, oh, we didn't realize, and they got another Sefer Torah and they fixed it. So this is the machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Taz about how much is permitted to be torn. Adds this last sif dalid im urea achas ena tefura imo afilu humunachas imo in karin imo. That even if you have the urea nearby, if it's not sewn on, so then you can't use it to read. Meaning maybe there is a discussion in the Gemara that it might only be a kavod atzibur issue, in which case, because to not have them all together might just be a lack of kavod atzibur. But either way, if we have torn sifrei Torah, we're not reading from them. Okay, so ad kan. Reish Ayin Ches. So the so I move to Reish Ayin Tes. Must be on here. So the tour, we go back to the tour here. Thanks. So we go back to the second page in the tour, which I guess is page 2 in the source sheet. So the okay, so the Torah says, Sefer Torah she'ena muga, aser lashosa yosem yisholshim yom el yitakin o yignas. That if you have a Sefer Torah that is incorrect, so it's prohibited to leave it around, that's a puzzle Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to leave it around for more than 30 days, el yitakin o yignas. But rather you either fix it or you got to put it in Geniza, you're not allowed to keep it around. So right away it's like, oh, well, really? There's plenty. We have a lot of Sefer Torah around. What?
I said we're in big trouble.
Right. So what's going on here? So this is a Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos. The Gemara there, and which is quoted here in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef says, "Meimer de Rabbi Ami Perek Shnei Ksuvos." The Kusuv. And what exactly is it referring to? So the Beis Yosef actually doesn't quote Rashi. Rashi there says that it's referring to Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. You've got to be careful about Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. So what does that indicate to us? So what is the concern that we have here? That you're keeping a Sefer Torah around, that's possible. So what are we concerned about? Why not? Why wouldn't we be allowed to keep it around?
It's the color. Somebody's going to use it.
Use it for what? Okay. What's the other possibility?
They'll make a mistake reading it.
And then those go together. Well, they'll make a mistake reading it if they are just reading it. Meaning you now Sefer Torah are copied over from previous Sefer Torah. So if you leave a Sefer Torah around, that's pasul, so then that could bear fruit, right? And continue on with more and more Sefer Torah. So that's why the Gemara seems to be makvid to get rid of it. So Rashi makes the comment that this doesn't just apply to a Torah. This is, Rashi just writes three words. Sefer Torah Shemuga, Rashi says, Torah Nevi'im V'Ksuvim. Right? So what does that indicate? So that seems to indicate it's not just a concern about leaning, that it's really a concern about the second thing that we mentioned, some kind of concern about Mesorah, because that is the Masoretic text, which needs to be kept intact in order to be passed on appropriately. So if we Say here in the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef says, Memra de Rebbe Ami, Perek Sheni de Ksuvus, V'chasuv Bagos Maimini, Kasuv Ravya, Daf Neviim Ksuvim Mairi, right? That it's even talking about Neviim and Ksuvim, right? V'hizer Af B'Talmud Tavol Av Bracha. If you're going to be Machbid about Talmud, even more so, that you shouldn't keep any Sefer Torah that have, or any Sfarim around at all, that have any type of mistake. Right. You see here in the Darkei Moshe quotes from Rashi here. Perka Isha Nisarmala, right? Dibra Masu Lashar Svarim to include the other ones. Yeah, okay. So Rashi is like the Ravya. For some reason, the Shulchan Aruch here. Right, then the Kabbalah just adds, right, with regards to the Gemara, right, you can't keep anything around. Why? Because she'asur lashosim below haga, you're not allowed to keep things without fixing it. Shema yita begirsa gemara, you're going to make a mistake with the girsa of the Gemara, or another sefer. V'yasur hamutter o yatur ha'asur, v'ein l'cha av l'gadol mizu. You're gonna asur something that's mutter, or matir something that's asur, and that's terrible. I'll take a look at that source sheet. Do I have the source? Where do I do with my source sheet here? So yeah, in the source sheet. So I put on also the Rambam. The Rambam is on page 7. So the Rambam in Hilchos Sefer Torah Perek Zayin Halacha Yud Bey. So it's towards the bottom of that page. So there he says Sefer Torah Sheinu Muga Aser Shahuto Yatar Al Shalishim Yom El Yitakin Ol Yignas. So what does the Rambam clearly say? The Rambam is clearly talking about a Sefer Torah itself, and not talking about anything else. So this is perhaps developed as a machlokus between the Rambam versus, if you notice, the Hagos Maimini and Tess at the bottom of the page. So that's where the Beis Yosef quotes the Ravya, that's referring not just to the Torah itself, but also to Nevi'im, as well as to Ksuvim. So it seems to be a machlokus rishon whether this just applies to a Sefer Torah, or whether this applies to other things, to other Sfarim as well. So the...
Some congregations have they call it a Holocaust Torah or something. It's clearly irreparable, but it's there. Is that bad?
So we meant this come up here. Maybe I think we talked about this actually in shul. So there's a couple of questions. Number one is that a violation of this din? That's the first halacha. There might be other violations also. I mean, just keeping a Sefer Torah around, on display like that, is that really an appropriate thing or not? So Rav Moshe actually has a tshuva about that, where he seems to say that it is okay. I mean, that does serve a toelas, and therefore it's okay. There was a question, the Marei HaBazak, that's the Sefer that I've been using between Mincha Marv. I'm looking to see if I brought it up here, but no, I think it's still downstairs. So we did this a couple of months ago where the Shaila went even one step further. It was that a family had a family Sefer Torah, which they want, it was possible they were going to get rid of it, but they wanted to take out one Yeriah and hang it on their wall as a recollection that our family at one point owned the Sefer Torah. So that maybe even makes it worse, because now you're actually keeping only a piece of a Sefer Torah around. So the Mara HaBazak said at the end of the day he thought it was mutter, that they have that such a thing around, it's going to serve some type of inspiration. He thought that they actually came out that there's grounds to say that it's mutter, not necessarily a recommended thing to do, but at least that would be okay. Fine, but what about so what about our practice? I mean, our practice is not to get rid of Sefer Torah. In fact, if you look in Or HaChaim, the way of, it's not just, you can't just put a Sefer Torah in the Sheamus pile. There actually is a specific way of burying it. It needs to be buried next to a Talmud Chacham, and it should have its own clay container. It's not really practical to get rid of of Sefer Torahs, even in a halachic way. So the practice just became that all these Sefri Torah just end up in shul and kind of just stay there, right? So isn't that a violation of this din? So in the source sheet on page, I guess towards the end, must be all the way at the end here, yeah. So I found a piece from Rabbi Josh Flug on YU Torah from several years ago. There was a little bit of a period when he was writing weekly halachic pieces. So this was part of a weekly halacha piece where he develops this machlokas between, where he talks about the machlokas Rashi versus the Rambam, and found a piece in Das Kohen. Das Kohen is a halacha sefer written by Rav Kook. So Rav Avram Yitzchak, you know, Rav Avram Yitzchak Kohen Kook. That, you know, him. So he has a, so he says, he tries to defend the practice, and he says, well, it depends what our concern is. So he says, if our concern is that you're going to lean from it, so then he says, just put, if as long as you put a siman on the outside, so then that should be okay. I mean, you're putting a siman on the outside, and therefore you know that you're not supposed to go ahead and lean from it. If the concern is that it's going to be used to copy, so the truth is, you could just say the same thing and say, well, as long as you put a bendel around the outside, so then that'll be enough to know that you're not supposed to copy from it. So Rav Kook doesn't go there. He says, he goes even further. And he says, yeah, but nowadays we don't use Sifrei Torah to learn from. We don't use Sifrei Torah to copy from. We use a tikkun to copy from, which is the text. You don't, a sofer doesn't sit there with two Sifrei Torah in order to write a new Sifrei Torah. He uses a tikkun. So says Rav Kook that because it's not used for those purposes anymore, according to Rashi, it would be okay. Now, right, again, you could just say, well, as long as you put a marker on it, it should be okay. But fine. So either way, Rav Kook defends the practice. He even makes a point of saying that he's defending the common practice. Actually, I noticed, interestingly enough, this letter was written from London. Rav Kook got stuck in Europe during World War I, right? That he went to the Gudas Yisrael conference representing the Israel delegation. Was he was the chief rabbi? I forget if he was still the chief rabbi of Yafo already. Was yeah, must have been the chief rabbi of Yafo at the time. So went to the Gudas Yisrael convention in Europe, and while he was there, World War I broke out. So he ended up in Switzerland, and then was able to make it to London, where he actually was the rabbi of a shul in London for like 2-3 years. So I see this shul was written from when he was in London. So Rav Kook allowed this practice of leaving the Sifrei Torah around, and that seems to be a pretty widespread minhag. Now the Rama here quotes one more, just while on the topic, the Rama throws in the following, like a curveball, so to speak, right? So the Rama adds in v'hu adin l'shar sfarim, right? Rashi beis Yosef shema goes maimini, and then he says ve'ein lahagia shum sefer al pi svara, and one should not fix any sefer based on svara, ki im beraya brura shiyesh bo tos, without a pure proof that there was a mistake here. Right? So he's quoting the Darkei, this was quoted from the Darkei Moshe. The Darkei Moshe had this on the page. It's really just a quote from this Rav David Cohn. Right? Don't fix any sefer just based on your svara. You need to have a proof. Now, we have a couple of people through our history that have made it their jobs to go through svarim and fix them. The most prominent among them is the Vilna Gaon, right? The Vilna Gaon, the Hagos Hagra, both on the Gemara as well as on that appear on pretty much every page of Shulchan Aruch. Not necessarily that's not necessarily with the Biur Hagra, but the Hagos Hagra on the Gemara are his corrections, and it's not. Really, I don't believe it's that the Gra had manuscripts and was doing comparative research amongst various manuscripts. It was that the Vilna Gaon said it can't be that this is the correct girsa, this is the correct text. Rather, it must be that we changed the text. So does that mean that he's doing it based on Svara or not? So the Biur HaGra, so luckily we have the Biur HaGra on our page to talk about this halacha. So the Biur HaGra on the bottom of the page quotes V'chein Kasev Tosfos, right? V'ein Lahagia, right? Ayin Tosfos Babas. In the Biur HaGra on this page, Biur HaGra Beis. On page 7, I guess, okay. Yes, page 6. Right, so right under the Taz, there's a lot of Taz, and there's three lines, two lines of three columns each of the Biur HaGra. says v'chein chasav haramban v'chasav sham shirab machu sham gabe esrog tevas li b'shvil shehuksha lehem kushis tosos. So there's many people. I went to look up this Gemara and figure out what the Ramban was talking about, but that the Ramban apparently like complained that people took out a word because of a certain question that Tosos had. I didn't think that was right. Because you see explicitly in Yerushalmi that is an incorrect thing to do. Meaning they said based off of a question on Tosfos, they said, oh, it must be that there's a girsa problem and there was a word added in. So the Ramban says that's incorrect. What says Yerushalmi? The chasuv v'hagas sofrim, v'hagas sofrim, b'svara avir gemura v'roy lindos aleha. Right, and he writes that fixes of a sofer based on their logic is a full fledged avera v'roy lindos aleha, and you would put such a person in chayrim. So I'm not sure how you know where does svara end and proof begin. Like I'm not really sure how you make that equation. It is said that I think in the biography of the Vilna Gaon, it does say that for every correction he made in the Bir Hagra, sorry, in the Hagos Hagra, he fasted 3 days or something before making that correction. So the Gross obviously took it seriously, but at what point? I mean, the Bach also I don't think was making specific manuscript studies. He was making, based on his understanding of the Gemara, that it must be that the word, that there must be a wrong word here or there, right? And, you know, sometimes, like, learning Daf Yomi, I'll read through and be like, wait, it can't be that that's right. Is there a Bach? Ah, yeah, the Bach makes a change. Right? But as you can see that there's some corruption in the text. Now, where does that corruption, you know, where does logic end versus proof begin? I don't know. I did a little bit of searching for this. I couldn't really find too many modern references to it, but I did find it quoted in an article by Dr. Lyman from 1981. That for several decades, Dr. Lyman had like one article in every issue of Tradition. So that's 4 a year times, you know, I don't know, 25, 30 years. So I found that he does reference this Rama in an article about the Chazon Ish, that there's a famous Chazon Ish, or the Chazon Ish is famous for the Shita that he rejects like historical Rishonim. If all of a sudden a Rishon pops up, like the Meiri. So how do we the Meiri was absent from the canon for many, many years. So how does a Shitas HaMe'iri impact Halacha? So the Chazon Ish is the most famous for saying that we don't accept Rishonim that disappeared for a while. We don't accept Girsos that disappeared for a while. I mean, there's a reason, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu guides the hand of Halacha, and he wouldn't allow the Halacha to be, you know, a Torah to be lost that would be required for the Halacha. So Dr. Lyman quotes that piece and adds on, besides the fact that the Chazon Ish felt very strongly that you shouldn't just make girsa changes to fit your halacha, which he writes about here in a letter in Igros, in Kovitz Egros of the Chazon Ish, besides that, it also appears that it would be against the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, and he quotes this Ramah. But again, I could, beyond that, I couldn't figure out how do you know that you've reached the level that you can notice a mistake in a text, and not just a mistake in the Gemara. What about a mistake in a Achron, like in a modern day Sefer that just came out, right? So at what point do you say, oh, it must be that there is a Tosofer? There are people, of course, that perhaps have taken this too far and say anything that they disagree with, that this is what Mark Shapiro's book was about, anything they disagree with, they say, oh, it must be a forgery, it must be something was wrong, right? So that probably is also against the Salacha and Shulchan Aruch, just to say, oh, I disagree with that conclusion, it must be that the person never said it or something like that. So anyways, that's a basis for it. How that Halacha is actually invoked, awaits further research and learning. Okay? All right, so Yosher Koach, we'll stop here. Mom wanted to talk to me. I don't tell her. She said she'd call me back at 4 o'clock today if she wants to call me. I'm talking to my father. Mommy wanted to said wrote to me that she was going to call me back, and I haven't heard back from her.
She said, oh, I'll be back half an hour, but I can't call him now. Okay.
Okay, so...